the Word with you, turn to chapter 1 of Timothy. Timothy, chapter 1, the second Timothy. As we think about the Apostle Paul, and I've preached upon some messages upon Paul and his gospel preaching, his journey as he travels along, and we read about the Apostle Paul and the Word of God, his journey in the gospel. And, you know, I think about sometimes, and I can relate to a lot of what the Apostle Paul, some of the things that he endured, as probably nothing like the Apostle Paul any of us will ever have to endure. But we can relate to what God has called him to do, and I can relate to what God has called me to do, is preach the Word of God. And the Apostle Paul, at this time in his life, he was under a lot of pressure and had been all every place that he had went to go preach the gospel. He didn't know what would meet him or what would become of him as he went along to preach the gospel. But he knew one thing, that the grace of God was with him wherever he went. And these times that Paul, as he, some of the 12 or 13 books that Paul wrote, and we can see the trials of his life and what he went through and how strong the Apostle Paul was in the Lord. And it's always been an inspiration to me. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is my first inspiration in life, but here was a great man of God who God had blessed to go and preach the gospel throughout where God had called him to preach. And I don't think he ever turned around and said, well, it's going to be too rough for me over there when he was going to Jerusalem or wherever he went. He says, I go bound in the Spirit when he was going to Jerusalem. I believe every place that God had called the Apostle Paul to go preach, that he went in the Spirit of the Lord. And we should understand this morning that that's kind of the way that God, even as witnesses for the Lord, has called us. He's called each and every one of us to pick up our cross and to follow him and to be good witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, to witness. So it's not just the preachers, but we need to go on this journey through life, the spiritual journey that God has given us to do in life and to go through and to do this in the Spirit of the Lord, to go bound in the Spirit. Bound in the Spirit. I believe that when he says we are to go bound in the Spirit, when he called, when the Apostle Paul was going over to Jerusalem there and he says, I go bound in the Spirit, that he was first and foremost in the spiritual mode that it wasn't anything going to stop him. We see some of the people there that who fell upon his breast and cried because they didn't know if they would ever see him again. And Paul didn't know if he would ever see these saints of God anymore. But yet he says, I have got to go and preach the Word of God. Now that should be the elders of the church. That should be their mold, that we go preach the Word of God to all that would want to sit and hear God's Word. Preaching the Word. Paul says in 2 Timothy, the first chapter, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. I want you to notice that. It didn't say by the will of man or anyone else. He says by the will of God. So I believe that God calls his ministers, and that's the only way that they're called is by the Lord Jesus Christ. They are called of God according to the promise of life which is in Jesus Christ. We're called of God to preach the Word. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Now, he wasn't Paul's son in the flesh, but he was Paul's son in the gospel. Paul tutored Timothy and brought him up in the Word of God. And I kind of, as I read about the Apostle Paul and Timothy, I believe they were very close. I believe they were great men of God. And I believe Paul taught him the things that he needed to be taught to go and preach God's Word throughout where God called him to go. And here I don't believe Timothy turned around and went back either. But he went wherever God called him. And he went in power and demonstration of the Lord. We have a holy power. And that's the power of God to go and do what God has called us to do. Not just the preachers, but every child of God has the power of God within them. And we ought to be about the Lord's business. So, Timothy, my dearly beloved son. And then he says, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. And I believe this includes the Holy Spirit too. He says, I thank God, whom I served for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. We see Paul was a praying man, and he says, and I believe that this is encouraging us to pray for one another, to pray for your pastors, to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. He says, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joys. Being mindful of thy tears. I don't believe these were tears of sorrow, but I believe these were tears of love and tears of joy for one another in the love of God. You know, I remember many a time when we would be leaving each other here at church, and I'd see people shedding tears of joy when we would be having meetings here at the church. We would shed tears of joy. And I believe this is what the Apostle Paul, even though he's leaving Timothy and telling Timothy what he needs to do, but God had already put it up on Timothy's heart, I'm sure, that what he was needful for him to do. But Paul says, I have joy in my heart that God has call me and call you, Timothy, to preach the Word of God, and I believe it's going to be completed by God's will. I believe that we're going to complete God's will in our lives. And he says, I have joy. I'm filled with joy. I'm filled with tears in my eyes for this joy and love for my brothers and sisters in Christ and Timothy. So he's exhorting Timothy. You know, this sermon, this scripture is usually preached in, when someone is ordained into the ministry. But I believe it needs to be preached to outside that, and we need to preach it to God's people here because it's encouraging to not only to us ministers, but to God's people. Showing the love for one another. Showing that we ought to love one another. He says, I thank God whom I serve. In the third verse, he says, I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Day and night, he had remembrance of God's people in his heart. You know, I believe we are a praying church, and we have remembrance of our loved ones. We have remembrance of God's people in the house of God, and we pray for one another daily, or we should. I believe we do. So this is what Paul is saying. I have remembrance of thee day and night. And he brings, he says, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. That I may be filled with the joy of the Lord in my heart. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. Some people say that's Eunice. They can pronounce it however they want to. But I pronounce it Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also. When Paul says, I am persuaded, I believe he meant that he knew. He says, I am persuaded in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God. You know, here Paul is encouraging that we not only to those that he was talking to, this letter was written to in that day and time, but he's telling us that we need to stir up the gift of God. Do you stir up God's gift in your heart? Do you stir up the gift that God has given you in your heart? Do you get spiritually stirred up? You know, sometimes we get physically stirred up. I'd rather be spiritually stirred up. This is what Paul is talking about. You know, a lot of times, you know, I can see someone else crying and maybe I start crying too. If I see someone else rejoicing in the Lord, I want to rejoice too, don't I? Don't we want to rejoice when we see other people rejoicing in the Lord? So we need to stir up what the gift of God that's within us, the holy gift that's within us, the power of God, the Holy Spirit. That's why God warns us. He says, quench not the Spirit. And when we come into the house of the Lord, and we're spiritually stirred up, we come in, you know, with a bounce, and we come in with a smile on our face, and we say, isn't the Lord good? Isn't He wonderful? And when we come into the house of God, that should be the way that we feel. Well, matter of fact, that should be the way we feel all day long. When we come into the house of God to rejoice in the Lord, and when we're going through our work day and rejoicing in the Lord, we should be stirred up in the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. He's talking about the presbytery here, when they ordained the Apostle Paul, and I can remember when I was ordained, and I can remember when Brother Dave was ordained. Now, Brother Leroy, he is already ordained when he come amongst us. But that's a day that I'll never forget in my life. And I'm sure that Brother Dave will never forget that day in his life. So we've had some good times with the Lord, and we've been stirred up. He says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. Now I want you to listen to this. God has not given us the spirit of fear. He's not given you the spirit of fear. But he says, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But of power and of love and a sound mind. We have the power of God's love in our hearts today. We have that power. We have that love in our hearts. And we can feel God's love, and we can know God's love. We can be able to understand somewhat about the love of God. We're once in our life, even though as I look back on my life, and I'll use me for an example, and I'm sure the Apostle Paul many times looked back on his life, and he said he was the chief of sinners, and he went about trying to destroy God's church and persecuting God's people. He says he was the chief of sinners, and I think about that sometimes. If he was the chief of sinners, what am I? For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner. Or of me, His prisoner. He says, I'm a prisoner. Many times the Word of God, Paul says, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. And that's good. That's not bad. That's a great place to be in when you're a prisoner of the Lord and you hear His Word and you follow Him and you pick up your cross and follow Him and you hear His words in your heart and you obey. You obey as the Apostle Paul did. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me, His prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. Now listen, God is not going to put any more on us than we can stand. That's His promise. He says that He'll be with us through all that we have to go through. The Lord allows things to come up. He either allows it or brings it to us. Either one. He allows it or either brings it to us. So He says, who has, in the ninth verse, He says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose. His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Jesus Christ before the world began. Now we know that as Paul and as we go through trials and tribulations here in this old weary world, Paul's journey as he is called to be an evangelist and goes on his journey, his gospel journey, to come to the end of his life here. But he's still preaching the Word of God. He's still on fire for the Lord. He's not backtracking. He's not compromising God's Word. He's not compromising the spirituality that God has given him. He's going forward and he's doing what God's called him to do. Here was a special man of God, a great man of God, and I'm not putting Paul upon any great pedestal, any higher than Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. But here was a great man of God who done God's will in his life. And God gave him the perfect gospel to go out and preach to God's people. This is the perfect gospel. And I believe Paul preached a perfect gospel. He preached this and he wrote this, so it has to be the Word of God. Now, Paul wasn't a perfect man, but he preached the perfect gospel, which I don't know if can do today in the sense that the Apostle Paul did. Because what Paul learned was from the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes we get off on these janks and think we want to try to interpret God's Word and maybe put man's thoughts into it instead of God's thoughts. So what we need to do is stick to the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit interpret. Let God interpret to us. He says in Ephesians 3, I believe it is, the 14 through 21, he says, be not blown about by every wind of doctrine. Be not blown about by the words of men. Be established by the Word of God. Be not double-minded. For a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and that's including women too. So we need to be established in the Word of God. Because he says, I believe in the book of Matthew, he says the blind lead the blind and they all fall in the ditch. So we need to have our eyes open as we As we preach the Word of God, we need to be in the Spirit of the Lord, and we need to be led by the Lord. And that's what he's teaching Timothy here. As he says, be bound in the Spirit of the Lord. Of course, I believe Timothy was. And as we go a little farther here, he says over in... I want to just turn back over to Acts and read you a few verses in chapter 20, I believe it is. Yeah, chapter 20, verse 22. And this is what I was speaking about with Paul being bound in the Spirit. You know, I think maybe I've said this a couple of times, and when we are bound in the Spirit or walking in the Spirit, and my dear brother in Christ, Brother Leroy, I asked him this question one time, and I understand it a lot better now as he explained it to me. He says, when you're walking in the Spirit, nothing else matters too much in life except the Lord. In other words, He is first in your life, first and foremost in your life. So I think the Apostle Paul, when he went to do the Lord's will in his life, I believe that that was the first and foremost thing in his life. He says, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Now, Paul had no idea, but he trusted in the Lord. Here is one of our problems. We say we trust in God. You know, we say we have our faith in the Lord. But yet, we falter and we fail in trusting wholly in a holy God who says that He will take us by. He says underneath are His everlasting arms. Underneath are His everlasting arms. So sometimes we fail to trust fully in the Lord and in things in our life. And so we need to put our faith. And I'm preaching to myself this morning because sometimes I have doubts. We all sometimes let the humanistic part of us take over and we have doubts. We don't put our faith in God. We're not trusting in the Lord like we should. Now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me, but I know, Paul's saying, I know God's grace. God sometimes, you know, over in the book of Job, it says that God removed the hedge from around Job, but He didn't remove His grace. And sometimes this happens to all of us. He removes the hedge, but He don't remove His grace. God's grace is always with us. God's grace is always there. And we use God's grace and we hold to God's grace. Not knowing the things that shall befall me. This is what Paul had up on his heart and in his mind. He's going bound in the Spirit. He says, I'm not worried about going to meet me. I'm not worried about those folks over there in Jerusalem because the Lord is going to be with me. He's going to watch over me and He's going to give me grace to go through whatever I have to go through. If it be life or if it be death, God's grace is sufficient. And sometimes we need God's grace while we need living grace. And when we get ready to die, then God will give us dying grace, I believe. So, save. He says in the 23rd verse, he said, save that the Holy Ghost witnessed into every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. His farewell to these folks over there, he's saying goodbye, I'm on my way, and I'm going to do God's will in my life. He says, but none of these things move me, neither I count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. that I might finish my course in the Lord with joy. That's, you know, if we're the children of God, and we go through this life and we say, I want to finish my course when I come to the end. I want my Lord and my Savior to say, well done, my good and faithful friend. Well done, my good and faithful friend. But none of these things move me. It didn't matter to Paul. He wasn't worried about anything. We worry too much. Everything that comes up, we worry about this, we worry about that. And no wonder people have so many things in their life to disturb their spirituality. No wonder people have nervous breakdowns and all this stuff. I'm telling you today, God's people, if you have your mind and your heart upon the Lord, I don't think that these things are going to happen to you. If you're trusting in God, if you're trusting in a faithful God, He's faithful. Your friends, you know, you may have a lot of friends, and they may be somewhat faithful, but they're not as faithful as God is to you. Because He says that He is faithful to us. Underneath are His everlasting arms. So we walk in the Spirit of the Lord. And we go bound in the Spirit of the Lord. And everything that we do to the honor and glory of God. And I doubt that any of us do that, do we? Everything that you do in life, do you do it to the honor and glory of God? I doubt it. I don't. But we should do it to the honor and glory of God, to the praise of our Lord and Savior. But none of these things move me. Neither I count my life dear unto myself. He said, I don't care about my life. He said, whatever God has for me. You remember the three Hebrew children was cast into the fiery furnace? They wasn't worried about their life, was they? How did they come out? They came out, they said, the Lord Jesus was there with them in the fiery furnace. And they came out of that fiery furnace. They went through the fire. And it was, the old King Nebuchadnezzar, he says, heat that furnace up seven times hotter. He says, I want them burnt. But they come out with not even a burnt smell on them, not a hair singed. And you think that God is not going to watch over us as we go through the fiery things today of this world? God is going to watch over us and keep us in His tender loving care. We have to have the faith that God is going to do that. And we have to know and we have to understand. And maybe sometimes this don't always work out. But God says for everything there's a reason. So we may have to go through a lot in life. But we go through it with grace in our life. No matter what. Grace in our life. And grace is a powerful, one of the most powerful gifts that God has given to us. Grace, grace, grace. Wonderful grace. Yes, these are perilous times that Paul is talking about here in the Word of God. These are difficult times. These are times of tribulation, the time of persecution, and times of anguish and times of sorrow to a lot of God's people, but they have God's grace. These are times of somewhat anguish and sometimes sorrow and sometimes tribulations in our lives. But we should have the peace and grace through believing in God that He's going to take us through and we're going to come out on the other side a whole lot better off than we were. Well, how many times have I thought, well, I'm going through this and God is, and I'd pray about God is going to bring me out on the other side, and I believed in God, and sometimes I didn't, but most of the time I do, that God's going to bring me through these things a whole lot better off than I was, because we learn And we're more prepared if we have to go through that again. Listen, I was telling you earlier about getting all my ducks back in a row, you know, and the last 2 or 3 weeks, everything has been sideways, but I just prayed and trusted in God, and you know, I don't know how the end is going to come. It's not here yet. I'm still here, and I'm still loving the Lord, trying to love the Lord with all my heart, trying to do God's will in my life, and trying to take care of my dear wife and many things that are going on in my life. But the thing about it is, God has given me grace to do that. I'm doing it. Maybe I don't know a lot of things about what women's work is, but I'm learning. I'm learning. You have to give me a little time. And the Lord, you give me a little time to learn and to prepare. I'm more prepared now than I was before. God prepares us. And Paul in the 25th verse, he says, "And now behold, I know that y'all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more." Shall see my face no more. What if I got up this morning and told the congregation that, like the Apostle Paul was telling me, you may not see my face anymore. You may not see me anymore. Because I'm going on a preaching trip. I'm going to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'd probably think, well, what in the world is he talking about? Well, you know, you never know what's going to happen. You don't know what might happen to you down the road. I remember one time, and I might have told this before, that me and Barbara was out in California and on a preaching trip, and we've done a lot of traveling all over the United States, and I've enjoyed it thoroughly. But we were out there, and just 2 seconds in front of us, this car all at once run up on a medium wall and just turned upside down and just started scooting down through there. And Barbara looked over at me, and after we had stopped, and there was a woman and a couple of kids in there, and we were trying to get them out, and there was a lot of cars stopped, and finally it wasn't 5 minutes till the police was there, but we were trying to console them, they were bleeding and everything, you know. And Barbara turned to me and she said, "You know what?" She said, "By the grace of God, that could have been us. That could have, if it wasn't for the grace of God, 2 more seconds. And that could have been us." But I had to stay around a few minutes to see how the kids and the two kids and the woman was. And they got them out I don't think that it was life-threatening or anything, but it could have been. And they took them by ambulance to the hospital. But we have, now we were up in Virginia, and we had a bad wreck we were traveling with another preacher and his wife, and we were going over to Richmond because I'd been preaching over in northern part of Virginia, so we were going over to Richmond. And boy, this woman pulled right out in front of us, and we hit her in the side and knocked the wheels plumb off the car. You know, and here's just the body of the car sitting out there. And again, this lady, I think there was two little girls in the car, and the seats were all up on them, you know, and we were kind of out away from the city. And I just tried to jerk the door open and get them out because I didn't know if the car was going to catch a fire or what. And I finally got the two kids out. And Barbara said I wasn't even worried about her. I said, well, I was more worried about the kids because I'd asked her before I jumped out of the van, is she all right? And she said, I think so. And the other people were all right. So it didn't hurt anybody in our car. But it did theirs. But anyway, went to the hospital, had to take, and I was supposed to be a in Richmond at a certain time. It took about 2 hours drive to Richmond. But anyway, we went back to the next town to the hospital. I wanted to see how those two little kids were, you know. And they were in there and it was all bloody. And I just thank God that it wasn't no worse than what it was. But anyway, now I just want to say this. You talk about some loving people. We went back, had to go back and get my car, and because it tore this van all to pieces. And so we had to go back to where we were staying, get my car, and take it to Richmond. We got to Richmond. It was 2 hours late getting to Richmond. And we kept calling, and they kept calling at the church. We got to the church house, and it was full. They had waited 2 hours on us to get there. And, you know, it's good to see that God's people are waiting to hear the Word of God. 2 hours they waited. And they were so happy to see us, and I was happy to see them, you know, and just so thankful that we came through that. All right, I kind of got off there. Let me go ahead on here. He says, in the 27th verse, let's go back to 26th verse, and he says, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. You know, we as pastors of the church and as a man of God, we need to declare the whole counsel of God and not leave some out just because somebody don't like it. We are to declare the Word of God, the whole Word of God, and not leave something out just because we're afraid it's going to hurt somebody's feelings. God says declare the whole counsel of God. And so that's what we need to do. He says, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. We are overseers. What a responsibility that a pastor or an elder has over the flock of God. We are soul watchers is what we are. We're to watch over the flock of God, to make you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His blood. What an awesome responsibility it is. And I'm going to say to the members of the church and those who love the Lord, it's an awesome responsibility of yours too, to watch over each other, to care for each other, and to love each other. The Bible teaches this. Then I want to go over to Romans, the 8th chapter, in closing this morning. And I've read this so many times, I'm kind of like Brother Dave. I just about know it in my heart. He knows Ephesians, but I'm afraid to try to recite it because I might leave something out and I don't want to leave nothing out. But he says in the 35th verse, the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? What a joy it is to know the love of Christ in your heart, to be in the Spirit of the Lord. And he mentioned some 17 or 18 different things here that befall him that would come against the Apostle Paul. And we've been talking about this. What, you know, he didn't. It didn't matter to him what was going to come against him. He had the power of God. He had the grace of God in his heart. He's going on. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he says, shall tribulations or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril of sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. He says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. You see, Paul was fully dependent upon the power of God and His love and His life. He wasn't going to turn back. He wasn't going to compromise the gospel. He wasn't going to compromise what God had called him to do. He'd done what God had called him to do. I can't find any place in the Word of God where Paul ever turned back and went any other way. And we should put our stamp. We should put our thoughts and our hearts and our minds on what God has called us to do. Every one of us. And do what God has called us to do. You want to have happiness in your life? Just do what God wants you to do in your life. And He'll give you the grace to be happy in your life and peace. You know, there's not very many peaceful people in the world today. They're unpeaceful. Because they don't have, they've forgotten their first love. A lot of people have. And they don't have God in their heart. They don't have the love of God in their heart. They've forgotten about the Lord Jesus Christ. They've forgotten about Him dying upon the cross for them. Oh, every once in a while may have run across their mind. But I'm going to tell you one thing. We should think about that every day of our life. When we arise in the morning and see the beauty of another day, we should think about how good the Lord has been to us and what He did for us and dying upon the cross and paying for our sins. That is it. He says, nay, in all these things and more, and conquers through Him that loved us. Not just beginning now to love us when we became as Christians, not just beginning to love us then, but has loved us even in the times when we were unruly, out in the world in habitual sin, loving us even then, no matter what we were, because we were the children of God, we just didn't know it yet, has loved us. For I am persuaded, well, again, when Paul says, for I am persuaded, I believe he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. And I'm glad he added that, any other creature. The devil can't separate you from the love of God. You can't separate yourself from the love of God. You know, I talked about, I think the other day, the candle, it says, I believe in the book of Psalms, where the candle is the Spirit of God in man. The candle never goes out in a child of God, but it can grow dim. It never goes out. But it can get so dim, and we can get so, let the devil, in our hearts, and he says he's going to and fro, devouring who he may. That's what's wrong with people today. They listen to the devil more than they listen to the Lord. We should be listening to God's Word. And he goes on, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. May God richly bless and keep you, is my prayer. Does someone have a song? Number 309. Let us stand and sing number 309.